Hey, it's Tony Bruschi, and this is our Week in Review. Over the weekend, taking a look back at some of the most compelling conversations and stories that we've covered for you of the last week. Brand new episodes back Monday morning, bright and early, 5 a.m. here on the podcast.
This is the examination of the hidden human condition.
You're listening to the Hidden Killers Podcast.
This is the Hidden Killers Podcast with Tony Bruschi.
With us to discuss all of the findings that have now been introduced into Discovery and into the ecosystem and the case against Rex Huerman is Hidden Killers contributor and former FBI special agent, retired Robin Drake. What do you presume we're going to be finding in these terabytes of information and pages and video and all of this that now has to be gone through?
Yeah, so I'm going to put my big conjecture hat on this one.
Yeah.
Because we don't know. But let's look at what we do know. I was really fascinated by the guns.
Yeah.
And here's why I'm fascinated by the guns.
Okay.
So you have someone who is accused of committing murder, and the way he's committed murder is through strangulation because of the type of serial killer he's being accused of being, which is very sexual in nature, it's very personal. And so the serial killer in this case has never used a firearm to conduct the murders he was doing.
Sure.
And so why does he have firearms? Well, he's a collector. And when you look at the profile that was created for the killer in Atlantic City, you know, they basically said the same thing about the missing shoes as maybe being something that's being collected as trophies or anything else. And I would think if you have that much terabytes of information, you've been looking at him for 13 years, and he has guns, not because he's using guns in the perpetration of the serial killing, but as a collector, I think we're going to see collections. I think you're going to see collections of victims that's going to be on that. I think it's why it was so definitive, apparently, to the prosecutors that we got the right guy. I think we're going to see collections, if not shoes, maybe of other things that come out on that's going to really tie him to this. Again, a lot of conjecture there, is presumed innocent and all that, but I think that's what's going to be part of this, no doubt.
I agree. What I would call what I think we've seen thus far is hoarding more so than even collecting. So collecting massive level. With that many guns that were in the home, that feels more of a hoarder than even collector. And quite honestly, we saw pictures from inside the house. His wife spoke up saying, you know, they ripped the place apart, which is understandable. But the pictures that we've seen from inside the house, if you just look at it, it's not necessarily looking to be that much of being ripped up by the FBI. It looks more like this was a hoarder house that had to be gone through and still is a hoarder house even after searched.
Yeah, it's always challenging, too, to listen to a spouse or anyone that lives in the house of someone that's been accused of a crime because they don't have a different context. They don't have an optic that's outside that house.
Yeah.
And we saw it with Murdoch and his kids. You know, if all you've ever known is your father is this individual and he's been this kind of dad, then, of course, he's the best thing in the world because you have no other context as a comparison.
Yeah.
And so, and if that's what the kids think, again, with the conjecture there.
Sure.
But in the same thing here, when you're talking to a wife and you're dealing with children and the only thing they've ever known is this house, this type of lifestyle, this type of behavior and way that the house is kept, that's all they know. So anything outside of that is going to be disruption. Anything outside of that's going to be wrong in their mind.
I'm wondering what your perception is when you hear this statement or heard this statement. Because to me, it felt weird. It just felt like there was something kind of off here about this statement being made by an adult about adults. This was from Asa Elrup, his wife, now soon to be ex-wife, stating that my children cry themselves to sleep at night. We're talking about 20-some and 30-some year old adults that are the children. And yes, anyone would cry themselves to sleep at night, I think, if you discover that this is your father. I don't doubt that they're going through a hell of a lot of trauma. It just felt a little off, though, of it being a statement from a mother with adult children, who clearly are adults, and she recognized that they were adults as well. But it just feels like the dynamics in this house were very off, and it feels like we're still seeing reflections of that. And I'm not insinuating that us or the kids had anything to do with anything. I'm insinuating more there was a level of very unhealthy control coming on or going on from the top down with Rex to his family.
100%. I'm with you on that one. It was very off behavior wise, but not to them.
Yeah.
And why not to them? Because their context is this is what behavior is. And why, just like you said, this is what Rex inflicted on them their entire lives. This is the behaviors that he normalized in their lives. Why did nothing stand out to them? Because he normalized all the things he was doing as being completely fine and true and right.
Yeah.
And so when you deviate from that, human beings, what we try to do to feel safe is we establish patterns and we do pattern recognition, because pattern recognition makes us feel safe. And so when you rely on certain things to behave and do life in a certain way, it makes us feel safe. And so he established a pattern of behavior, both his behavior and what his expectations were of the behavior of those around him, like his wife and kids, that this is what normal and safe feels like.
Yeah.
And so when you upend that, and especially if that person inflicting it on you was such a prevalent part of it, and that's now gone,
yeah,
that is massively disruptive to our brains. And so I think that's what we're seeing come out here, is how unhealthy he was for them as well. Let me add to that a little bit too.
Yeah, go ahead.
What was fascinating, it'll be interesting to see what comes out. If you're, in general, when you're dealing with psychopathy, and I always have to caveat, I'm not a licensed clinician, so I'm speaking from my own optic.
Yes, yes.
When you're dealing with psychopathy, you're dealing with an individual that has a total lack of empathy, no emotion, and they utilize the world around them to service their own needs. They're a complete shell. And I think it'll be interesting to observe what comes out about how he treated his family as a tool and not as an empathetic individual that cared like you and I care about our wife and children, but they were a tool in his life to further what he's trying to do.
Yeah.
And so that is what I think we're seeing having some, again, if regardless of whether he committed the murders or not, this is the behaviors we're seeing from the family dynamic, that they were objectified. You know, everything in that house was a tool to service him. It looks like it anyway. And so it's literally, that's what we're seeing is emotional neediness and a disconnect and really disjointed from what society deems as healthy, because those weren't healthy behaviors that were manifested in that house, because he's incapable of it. If again, he's on psychopathy.
Sure. You had mentioned earlier patterns and about their behavior and what is normal for them. Is that also why you think they went back to their home? I know the argument was also made, well, maybe that's the only option they have financially. They have to go back here. We take that out of the equation. Just the familiarity. This was home forever for most of these people in this household. One of them has developmental disabilities, learning disabilities, that I believe is the son, who is 30-some years old. Being back in an atmosphere, although it extremely tainted now by reality of what we know, or the allegations against Rex, but it is home. It is a place that I'm sure there was familiarity. I don't want to say happy memories, but maybe, but familiarity more than anything else.
Yeah. I think it's very telling that regardless of what he's accused of, that, you know, human beings, we gravitate towards things that make us feel safe. And what makes one person feel safe is not what might necessarily make someone else feel safe. And for some reason, they still feel safe in that house, and they feel safer there than anywhere else, which I think says two things. One, that the world outside of that house doesn't feel safe to them. And why is that? Was it because he was so controlling their lives that he made them afraid of the world outside that house? And the other thing is that maybe he wasn't doing anything from their context because of giving them lack of exposure to anyone else to balance that dichotomy of them, this and something else, that they thought this was safe. And so there was a lot of control going on there, obviously.
This is an examination of the hidden human condition.
This is the Hidden Killers Podcast.
The Hidden Killers Podcast.
With Tony Bruschi.